Fellow Freedom fans, our phone number here is 888-850-1872. Before the break, I was reading a article about this plea that you hear congressmen making to one another about the desperation of getting a healthcare plan, a basically restructuring our whole medical healthcare insurance industry program. Mr. Obama said there's going to be a major debate over it in the next 3 weeks. And when he was talking to some folks in Warren, Michigan, he says, don't be fooled by folks trying to scare you saying we can't change the healthcare system. What about don't be scared by the people who say we have to change the healthcare system? He says, don't be fooled by folks trying to scare you saying we can't change the healthcare system. I've never heard anybody say that. We have no choice but to change the healthcare system. We have no choice. You know, that reminds me of Mr. Bush. When the bailout happened, we have no choice. I know this is, and I guess Senator McCain said the same kind of things. You know, this is the wrong thing to do, but we have no choice. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. That's just called cowardice. Why do we have cowards in office? Well, I wonder if I was somebody who was going to prop somebody up into office, I think I would want a coward. Somebody who is very aware of which side their bread is buttered on and be willing to do what those people of influence would do to them. And I've told you a story about this one situation. I was watching a legislation debate on a certain thing going on in a different state. And then finally, it turns out that there was this last-minute change to this one idea, and it turns out that they took about over a dozen different dangerous innovations and slapped it into one bill. And then they put it all together and stuck it before the legislature in the last hour, literally last physical hour of this session, and said to many of these members who had enough sense to vote no and said, or would go maybe either way, wouldn't basically run along with party lines. And what it was is leaders on both parties had agreed to do these many multiple dangerous innovations into one bill. They were kind of basically hooking each other up. Okay, we'll hook you up with this if you'll hook us up with that. And it went against the single object rule and all these kind of things in the Constitution, but they threw it all together. And then those who they thought would be persuadable, they said, if you don't vote yes on this, you won't be here next year. And I had some tell me in confidence, I wouldn't say what their names were. But when I began to ask those in the area, why did they vote yes, or the 15 out of the 100 that voted no, I asked them why they voted no. The 15 that voted yes that I thought wouldn't otherwise do it started making pragmatic excuses about why it was necessary for them to do the wrong thing. He says, because I'm here to do this right thing in this other area, and if I'm not here next year, I won't be here to do that right thing. So essentially it was, that was something where, what about cowardice? That's cowardice. What about being courageous? What about doing that which is right and letting the chips fall where they may? See, if we do what is right, the outcome, if catastrophic, isn't our fault. If you do the right thing, and a catastrophe happens, it's not your fault. In fact, you're not going to dodge the catastrophe by doing that which is wrong. It's not going to happen. You're either going to just delay it. Most likely, it's going to make it worse. But what it is is in America, we're kind of conditioned to get near-term gratification rather than committing sacrifice for long-term reward. Near-term gratification instead of short-term sacrifice for long-term reward. Not gratification, but reward. So that's the kind of thing I'd really challenge, not just us, but if you're going to prop somebody into office, are you going to do the ones that have some neat rhetoric, public rhetoric? Or are you going to have those in office who are willing to do what is right, no matter how painful it might be, no matter how difficult it will be at press conferences? That's the question. That's the challenge. You, here in our listening audience, you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. And it's a little bit, maybe I'm a little bit low beat on my speech today because I have a window next to my face and it's gray outside. So maybe I need to, you know, just remember the song, Gray Skies Are Going to Clear Up, So Put On a Happy Face. I'll try to be a little bit happy about this. Sometimes it's kind of just kind of difficult to find something happy in what you're dealing with on the news. Our number here is 888-850-1872. You're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network, and I'm going to continue. And don't be fooled by folks trying to scare you saying we can't change the healthcare system. We have no choice but to change the healthcare system because right now I'm having trouble saying health. Change the healthcare system right now because right now it's broken for too many Americans. I wonder how many there are. They listed in this article that there are 50 million uninsured Americans. So that's, what's it, about 1 in 7? That's about 15%. I saw another article the other day that said 15% of Americans are uninsured. Okay. Why is that a catastrophe? It's, we're going to get those guys. They're not in the club. Maybe it's 50 million Americans who don't want to be a part of the socialist state. I have no idea. It'd be interesting to know. Those, are they just not insured? Are those who are they people that are plugged in every other way and in this in the mechanisms of the systemic socialist mechanisms of America that we have recently, you know, since the 1930s? Maybe they're not plugged in at all. I wonder. I don't know. I don't even know what the stats are in that, or how many people are just kind of not hidden off in the woods, but just are not participants in the main programs. I don't know. It's probably not 50 million, but it might be. And it could be just your average Joe. I'm actually quite shocked that they say that there's 50 million uninsured Americans. I would think there would be more. I'm actually shocked that it's only 50 million, which is 1/7, 1/6, somewhere between a 6th and a 7th of the population that's uninsured. I thought it would be more, and it may be because there's so many people that are plugged into the government-sponsored programs that they've pretty much gotten a hold of everybody so far. So I don't know. Let's see what this says. Under the House Democrats' plan, the federal government would be responsible for ensuring that every person, and I'm going to mention something that I read about a little segment in the bill. Under the House Democrats' plan, the federal government would be responsible for ensuring that every person, regardless of income or the state of their health, has access. Now, watch the way they word this, access to an affordable insurance plan. Now, you say, well, that's not too bad. It implies that it's voluntary. This will make sure that the government would be responsible for ensuring that every person, regardless of income or the state of their health, has access to affordable insurance. But watch this next statement here. Individuals and employers would have new obligations to get coverage or face hefty penalties. So it went to the access to affordable insurance to obligation to pay money, whether or not you want to participate. So it's possible that there's going to be people who are paying money for this, but don't have anything to do with it, even though they're paying. You know, so, and I wonder, how are they going to extract this money from people? The legislation calls for a 5.4% tax increase on individual. Is that an adjective? Making more than $1 million a year, with gradual tax beginning at $280,000 for individual somethings. Employers who don't provide coverage would be hit with a penalty equal to 8% of workers' wages, with an exemption for small businesses. So I guess it is going to be hitting the rich to get to the poor. But ultimately, you know what that does? Those who are rich that will be being taxed normally just change what they're charging the little guy who's buying the commodity or buying the consumable. So the consumer, ultimately, it's coming out of your paycheck. It's basically going to make the cost of living increase because those who make all that money and get taxed, all they do is they just change their their profit, they, you know, there's a profit margin thing that kicks in. So it changes what's being charged. It's just part of what happens. There's a little computer that does the math. Individuals who decline an offer of affordable coverage would pay 2.5% of their incomes as a penalty, up to the average cost of a health insurance plan. So if you make $30,000 a year, so it's, you know, that's not a lot, I guess. Pay $600 or something like that. It's about what you'd pay in your copay during the year anyway. That's interesting. Changes in the legislation are likely to satisfy a group of moderate conservative Democrats who are withholding support. The 1,000-page bill is unlikely to attract any Republican backing, and business groups and insurance industry immediately assailed it as a job killer. So look at who's going against us. Okay, all Republicans, well, we'll write them off. They're in the minority. Just ignore the minority. They might be rational and may not have the pandemic of dementia that's sweeping North America, but let's just ignore them. And business groups, let's ignore them. And insurance industry immediately assailed as a job killer. Well, let's ignore the insurance industry. Business groups also warned that the U.S. healthcare system would be damaged by adding a government-run insurance plan and a federal council. Now, this is where it gets scary. And a federal council that would make some decisions on benefits. In fact, some of those benefits may be life-saving, folks. Well, you're over 80 years old, and we don't want to put too much of this money into you because you are expendable. Instead of saying, what is your need? How can we help you? Thank you for coming to the doctor today. What is your need? Let's take care of that, Mr. Person created in the image of God, who may have a lot of effect on the entire planet in the last 2 days before their death. Let's make life good for them. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, oh, by the way, they didn't like it. Let's ignore them. The Business Roundtable representing top corporate CEOs, let's ignore them. And the National Retail Federation. These are all guys that are standing up against this. Oh, let's ignore them. What about sanity? Well, I mean, so here's our situation where they say, where the vice president said to a group of retirees, hey, I know it. The president knows it. You knows it. AARP knows it. We all know it. This country is right on the brink of bankruptcy. And if we don't spend more money, there's no other way to stop this financial catastrophe that's looming. So those with rational, sound minds might balk at that statement. But this is some of the things that's going on. So national health care, our number here is 888-850-1872. And there are some provisions in there in this bill that, you know, they say, oh, it's kind of affordable. Oh, this is what I saw in the bill. There's this little phrase in there that says, yeah, you can choose your own health care insurer. You can do stuff like that. But it's sort of like, yeah, but after this date, after this thing gets enacted, nobody's allowed to go out and buy new health care. Or no healthcare industries are going to be allowed to sell it. Or if you want to change it to a different company, you either have to keep what you have or you have to get the government version. So there's somebody brought up that in the bill, there's a sneaky controlling thing. What is going on? Do you care? Does it even matter to you that somebody in Washington is manipulating, is using the power of government, this huge controlling agency with great powers and the friend of a funny little collection agencies that go and take your property through levy and other kind of strange mechanisms? Does anybody care that these guys are just taking and creating this huge mechanism for control? Does anybody care? I don't know. Give us a call, 888-850-1872. Are we just sounding the alarm for no good cause? Well, whether we are or not, we can't go based on public opinion. What we have to do, we have an obligation here for the Liberty Works Radio Network and this Faith and Freedom Show to get to these issues and try to get to the point of truth and try to give a warning lest the blood be on our shoulders. So we're going to be back. We're going to try to serve you best we can. Tune back in, 888-850-1872.